Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, 5-Minute Stress Relief, 75 Exercises to Quiet Your Mind and Calm Your Body by Elena Welsh. It's a practical self-help guide focused on rapid, accessible stress management. Rather than presenting a long theoretical program, the book organizes stress relief into short exercises that can be completed in about 5 minutes. Its subject is everyday stress, especially the kind that accumulates during work, family responsibilities, uncertainty, or mental overload. The genre is applied wellness, with an emphasis on mind-body regulation, relaxation, mindfulness, and simple behavioral techniques. The purpose is not to diagnose or treat severe psychological conditions, but to give readers a portable set of tools for interrupting tension before it becomes overwhelming. The book stands out for its breadth. It includes physical calming methods, reflective prompts, sensory rituals, creative activities, and attention-shifting practices. Its core promise is practical immediacy, helping readers identify small actions that can restore calm without special equipment, extensive training, or major lifestyle restructuring. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the 5-minute structure reframes stress relief as an immediate intervention. A central feature of 5-minute stress relief is its decision to make each exercise brief enough to use during ordinary moments of strain. This structure matters because stress often feels unmanageable when relief is imagined as something that requires a full meditation session, a workout, or a major schedule change. By limiting the practices to a short time frame, the book treats stress reduction as an interruption rather than a distant goal. The reader is encouraged to act while tension is still present, using a manageable exercise to create a pause between stimulus and reaction. This approach is especially relevant for people whose stress comes in repeated bursts throughout the day, such as before a meeting, after a difficult conversation, or during mental fatigue. The format also reduces the barrier to experimentation. A reader can try several methods without committing to a complex system, then return to the ones that reliably help. The practical value lies less in novelty than in usability. The book makes self-regulation easier to start, repeat, and personalize. Secondly, the book uses variety to account for different stress responses. The collection of 75 exercises reflects an important assumption: stress does not feel the same for everyone, and a single technique will not suit every situation. Some readers experience stress primarily as racing thoughts, while others notice muscle tension, restlessness, irritability, or emotional shutdown. To them, by offering a wide menu of practices, the book allows readers to match the exercise to the form their stress takes. A reflective prompt may be useful when worry is driven by perspective loss, while a body-based calming exercise may be more effective when the nervous system feels activated. Creative activities such as coloring or doodling can help when verbal thinking becomes repetitive, because they shift attention into a lower pressure mode of engagement. Ritual-based practices, such as preparing tea or creating a small calming routine, work differently by using sensory cues and predictability. The book, therefore, functions as a toolkit rather than a single method. Its breadth helps readers build self-knowledge by noticing which types of practices work best under specific emotional, physical, and environmental conditions. Thirdly, mind-body calming techniques address stress as a physical state. A major theme in the book is that stress is not only a pattern of thought but also a bodily condition. When someone is stressed, breathing can become shallow, muscles can tighten, and attention can narrow toward perceived threats or unfinished tasks. The exercises aimed at calming the body are useful because they work through these physical entry points rather than asking the reader to think their way out of stress. Short practices involving breath, posture, movement, sensory awareness, or grounding can signal safety and slow the momentum of arousal. This does not mean the book promises a cure for chronic stress, but it recognizes that immediate relief often begins with the nervous system. The 5-minute format is well suited to this purpose because the body can respond to small changes quickly. A slower breath, a relaxed jaw, a shift in attention, or a brief pause can reduce the intensity of a stress reaction. The emphasis on accessible physical regulation makes the book practical for readers who struggle with purely cognitive advice. Fourthly, reflective and creative exercises redirect attention without demanding analysis. The book also includes practices that use reflection, gratitude, art, and simple creative engagement to shift the reader away from stress loops. These exercises are important because stress often persists through repetitive attention. The mind returns to the same concern, prediction, regret, or task list without producing resolution. A gratitude list, for example, does not erase difficulty, but it deliberately widens attention to include sources of stability, support, or meaning that stress can obscure. And similarly, doodling, coloring, or other low-stakes creative activities can reduce pressure by giving the mind a structured but non-verbal focus. The value of these practices lies in their modesty. They do not require artistic skill, emotional disclosure, or deep self-analysis. Instead, they create a short alternative channel for attention and expression. This makes them suitable for people who find traditional journaling too demanding or meditation too frustrating. By including reflective and creative methods alongside physical calming tools, the book acknowledges that stress relief can come from changing the quality of attention as much as from changing circumstances. Lastly, accessibility is the main strength, while personalization determines effectiveness. The book's strongest quality is also the source of its main limitation. Because the exercises are brief, simple, and numerous, they are easy to use and approachable for beginners. Readers do not need specialized knowledge, equipment, or a long explanation of psychological theory. This accessibility makes the book useful as a first step for people who want practical stress tools but feel overwhelmed by more intensive workbooks or therapeutic frameworks. At the same time, short exercises vary in impact. A practice that feels calming to one reader may feel repetitive, too light, or mismatched to another reader's stress pattern. The book works best when approached as a sampling process, rather than a promise that every exercise will be equally effective. Readers benefit from tracking which practices help with specific situations, such as mental rumination, physical tension, emotional overload, or end-of-day decompression. Its limitations should also be clear: 5-minute techniques can support everyday regulation, but they are not a substitute for professional care when stress is severe, persistent, trauma-related, or linked to major life disruption. In conclusion, 5-minute stress relief is best suited for readers who want practical, low-commitment tools for managing everyday stress. It is especially useful for busy professionals, caregivers, students, or anyone who feels they do not have time for longer wellness routines but still needs reliable ways to pause and reset. The book offers practical benefits by helping readers build a personal inventory of calming techniques, from body-based regulation to gratitude, sensory rituals, and creative redirection. Its intellectual value is modest but meaningful. It encourages readers to understand stress as something that can be approached through small behavioral choices, not only through major life changes or abstract insight. Compared with more comprehensive stress management workbooks, this book stands out for its compact exercise-driven format and its emphasis on immediacy. It does not try to provide an exhaustive theory of burnout, trauma, or anxiety, and that narrower scope is part of its usefulness. Readers looking for deep clinical analysis may need a more advanced resource, but readers seeking accessible practices they can test quickly will find its design practical. Its differentiation lies in combining variety, brevity, and everyday usability, making stress relief feel less like a demanding program and more like a set of repeatable micro-practices. If you would like to support Elena Welsh, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.